Okay, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4. And I believe the teenagers and counselors had an outstanding week last week from what I gather, though I haven't talked to maybe anybody specifically pertaining to it. John said it was a real good week. I would assume that that means it was a real good week. Carrie, Matt did really well, testified so. And Dennis said yesterday to me that it was a real good week. So I just take for granted, Cindy said likewise, a good week. So I'm taking for granted that if you were to ask the campers that what God had done for them and if God did anything at all for them, I would assume that Rebecca and Rachel and Elizabeth and Lydia and Caleb and Mariah and where's Alicia? Oh, with glasses. Okay. Her eyes went bad over the... Anyhow, I would assume that each one could tell you of maybe one night where the Lord really spoke to their heart or something that was said by one preacher or another, maybe more than one, where God really dealt with them. But camp is over now. And the idea being that with camp being over, we don't just go back the way we were a week ago. We don't go back to dragging and struggling and the don't care attitude and who cares whether read the Bible or don't read the Bible. We continue on, and all the camp is it's a stepping stone. It should lead you to higher ground. And likewise, for each of us as adults, God wants to speak to your heart, and God wants you to grab everything you can get, and God wants you to get from the Word of God everything that comes your way, and God wants you to use that to stay in the battle. And today I want to preach you a message that I call staying in the battle. You know and I know there have been by the multitude those that have they've weakened. And there was a time when they were in the battle like you and I are in the battle. I can look back to the Dr. Ruck meetings of the early 80s. And think of some of the ones that were in the battle with us. They may be in the battle, not to my knowledge. There are some that you know are not in the battle. And of course you are sure and I'm sure the devil doesn't want you to stay in the battle. Say, battle, battle, battle. Well, you may as well face reality, and I might as well face reality. There's going to be these little short shots where it's icing on the cake. There's going to be more of the other side where you're going to have to buckle down. You're going to have to show some grit. You're going to have to take a hit or two and continue on, or you'll be out of the race and out of the battle. And you know and I know that God does not want anybody here ever before the rapture to fall by the wayside or drop out of the race or drop down their hands and throw in the towel. Say, that's it. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, down verse number 7, the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is coming. The Philistines. God is coming to the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us. Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines. Philistines. Not Israelites. Philistines. Could they do it? They did it. If they did it, you and I as well can do it. O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men, and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter. There fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. That was what you would call a real battle. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent, with the earth upon his head. When he came, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it all, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult?" And the man came in hastily and told Eli, and the old boy dropped in his tracks. But what a battle. Not just Eli. Say, well, that old guy, man, it wouldn't take much to put him down. And maybe it didn't. Although you would say that was quite a hit. Not just Eli and his two sons. Although they went out as well. But that battle that day took out Eli, his two sons, and took out 30,000 footmen that day. Israel, 30,000 footmen, I mean, they drop in their tracks, they're out of the battle, they're gone. And today I want you to think about not getting out of the race, dropping out of the battle, falling by the wayside, as so many have done. I want you to gear yourself to stay in the battle. Now down in verse number 8 there, the Bible says, "One does, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote thee." You say, now how do they know that? You realize that word really travels. Say, believe me, it travels like you. I mean, it goes a lot of different ways now, man. You can't hardly stop it now. It's going to go, man. It'll go to the ends of the earth. It did then. And you need to realize that if a bird of the air has got to take it, a bird of the air will take it. The Bible say that in Ecclesiastes 10? And you need to realize that the little secrets you're trying to keep, they're not as secretive as what you think they are. A bird of the air is hanging around. He's picking up on it. You ever see them birds? They pick. They fight. They're going for the food. Kind of funny to watch them. Say, you watching birds? I thought something different about you. Well, when you're 68 years of age, you might watch them too. I should have started sooner. That's kind of a blessing. But it's kind of funny, humorous when you see them fighting, you know. Watch them pick. They come in and they pick a little bit and they're gone. And that's kind of how it goes with things you've got to say and things you have said. You need to realize that, there's not going to be any secret and no new thing under the sun. And what you've got to say, you may as well figure it's going to travel. It's going to go. You remember the story about Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 31 there? And the Bible says his fame spread through all the earth. Well, how could do that? I mean, all the world. It's gone. And likewise for you and I, if you're somebody who is offended easily, you're going to find yourself on the rocks. You say, why? Mark chapter 4, verse number 17. Somebody gets offended over the Word of God. They get offended over the Word of God. They're done. They're out of it. If you're somebody like that, it's going to be known. If you're somebody that got something, some grit to you, and you're somebody that don't drop too easily, don't discourage too easily, got the ability to hang in there, that gets well around as well. But you might as well figure, when it comes to this battle, if you're one that goes out easily, somewhere along the line the devil knows that, and he's going to bring something to your path, take you down and out, and you're going to be out of the battle. Word gets around. And if others know what it takes to put you down, put you out, you can be sure the devil does as well. And you can be absolutely certain it's going to come your way. It definitely will come your way. And, word just gets around. Why in Joshua 2 and verse number 9 there, you have Rahab the harlot and her family there. And so, oh man, here they come, man. These ones that, I mean, God, if he got to drop the Red Sea, he'll drop the Red Sea. Oh man, they're coming. And word gets around. Look out for those people. Don't mess with them. God's on their side. God will move in. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And dear friend, you better be known for somebody who has already fixed your heart. And your heart has determined that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, I'm going to still be flailing away. I mean, I ain't going to be beating the wind either. I'm going to be in the battle for the Lord. My heart's already fixed to that. And by the grace of God, he's going to find me in the fight when he comes back. You know how some are? They do good for a while. They fight the battle for a while. Next thing you know, where are they? Where's that guy? Where's he at? Oh, yeah, that's right. I haven't seen him for a while. As a matter of fact, it's been a couple of months. Well, as a matter of fact, it's been about 3 months. I mean, if I look the records out, it's been about 3 months. Where's that? Well, I don't know. Hey, where's that? I don't know either. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him either. I go there, I haven't seen him either. Where's that? What happened to him? They faded in, I mean, into the woodwork they go. I mean, they're just, you know, not on the, only on the shelf. I mean, they start out in the shelf and they're fading the woodwork there and they're gone. They're out. And God doesn't want you to do and travel that route. God wants to show himself strong in your behalf. God wants you to rely upon the Lord. And God wants you to determine in your heart that you are going to quit yourselves like men. But you know, Israel here, they had a lot going. God came through. Word got around. I mean, everything you read, constantly read it, how everybody knew that, I mean, the God of heaven, man, he would move in behalf of the nation of Israel. Everybody knew that. And I'm sure people know your testimony, your life, and mine. And they know that if the God of heaven's got to move in, he'll move in. Humorous things go on. This is a funny thing. Don't take it serious. It's funny. I used to preach up for Cleveland for Brother Jim Fallure. Joe Williams became a friend at that time. And by the way, Dana's going to be coming here August the 18th. That'll be a good day. Joe teaching Sunday school, and he's different. Good old Joe Williams. Dana. But anyhow, back in those days, it was kind of this way. I'd go up there to preach, and Jim Fallure would sit over here, Joe Williams sit over here. And I think, now, what's this all about? Why don't they go down and sit down? I'd preach to him in front row. And then one night, they said, yeah, have John McGraw come preach. Back in those days, John, I mean, he could absolutely fire away. And John, he's in the pulpit preaching away, and right in the middle of the preaching, somebody comes in the back door, door wide open. And somebody comes in the back door, and John says about one more thing, and all of a sudden somebody stands up and they start contending with John. And John stops preaching, and John starts arguing. His strong point, you know, argumentative. I don't know if that's strong or weak. Anyhow, he argues away with the guy, and the guy starts for John. And those boys just get up from right there, and they just walk back, and this guy comes about this far. They grab him, turn him around, and march him right back out the door. And John finished his message. So ever after, whenever I saw him up there, I said, oh, hallelujah, glory to God. You know, we can make it again another service here. And, you know, sometimes you have those kind of things and sort of, you know, known for that sort of a thing. Be strong, quit yourselves like men. But it's as though the Philistines knew of the past. Everybody knew the past. That wasn't a secret. Everybody knew about the Red Sea. Everybody, it got around. And the word got around. What I like about the fact is that they realized the past is the past. And those victories of times past were victories of bygone days. And you don't live in the past. And you don't rest on old victories. You know how Christians are? I mean, one time we had somebody come around here, and every time you asked for testimony, this brother would stand up. And he would stand up and give you a testimony. And you say, you're waiting, you know, say, man, that one from 40 years ago, I like that. I really like that. And so you're waiting for the next one, you know, for 30 years. He'd go back to 40 years. And so next time, say, hey, anybody got a word of testimony? The brother would stand up. You think, man, 20 years. And he'd go back 40 years. And that brother's around here a couple, 3 years, and all we ever heard is one testimony. I mean, there's a time back there, 40 years ago, when God gave victory and God did something. He never got past that. God forbid that you should live in the past and only live on old victory. I want this old one. I want some new ones out ahead, and so do you. You stay in the battle, you're going to find, God's alive. He's as powerful as he's ever been. You're going to find some victories, and you'll find victory this side. Not just in the past, way back in yonder bygone day that I can barely remember God did something, and nobody cares about it. They want to know God's going to do something now.
Amen.
Don't you? And I look here, and I'm with these Philistines here. And even though you'd say as far as Israel's concerned, there's no doubt God did something, and that's fine and dandy. No doubt about the fact the past was a grand, glorious past. Man, what a past. What a victory. I mean, I'm telling you, major victories, but those Philistines just didn't sit down and have heart attacks. They didn't sit down and mope and cry and whine around and play dad. They decided that we're going to have to get into a battle like we have never been in before. We're going to have to get in that battle. We're going to have to give it everything we got. We have got to go for it, and we've got to stay in the battle. I mean, till the last man drops, we stay in the battle. I say that because verse number 9 says, quit yourselves like men. And verse number 9, at the end of the verse there, quit yourselves like men and fight. Not women. You know what, you know why God calls men to preach, not women? Because, as a rule, men have the grit to take it and to keep on going, take it and keep on going, take it and keep on going. And a woman, she can tell it. She can't take it like a man can, as a rule. Some do and some have had to, and that's sad whenever that happens, but nonetheless, I know that situation here is where, the battle is there. You can't deny the battle's there. You can't deny that we are up against what could be major opposition, but nonetheless, they don't win them all. Nobody wins them all, and we're going to get in there. We're going to give it all we got. Quit yourselves like men. Say, oh, men aren't supposed to quit. Okay, you got the idea, don't you? You're in this battle, and you may get wounded from time to time. Think of the Lord. What are these wounds in thy hand? Huh? What are they? Say, I think I read that in the Bible. Yeah, okay, good. I think I read that in the Old Testament. Good. I think I read that near the end of the Old Testament. Good. I think I read it near the end of the next last book. Five pages of the Old. Yes, you're right. You got it. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 9. What are these wounds in thy hand? And those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. My friends. My friends. Oh, yeah. And think of the Lord. By the time you feel like falling out of the race, then, dear friend, remember the Lord. And the wounds in his hands were those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And sometimes those are not easy. You know what? I do as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13. Paul's wrapping it up now to this church here. And as far as I can tell, he's got a whole lot of things straightened out that needed straightened out. And now, as he wraps it up, it says, watch ye. That is, stay on your toes. Stand fast in the faith. Okay, don't be wishy-washy. Know what you believe, why you believe it, what you don't believe it. You know the truth. The truth shall set you free. And you continue in the Word of God. Stand fast in the faith now. Quit you like men. Be strong. And you know that passage is found here in 1 Samuel chapter number 4. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 10. And Joab, he makes that same statement. It's kind of like, let us play the man. And sometimes you don't really feel like, well, they say, you the man, that nutty thing. Sometimes you don't feel like you're the man. Sometimes you do feel like you're a little puppy dog. But if you feel that way, the idea is still you play the man. You do what you have to do. You assume your responsibility. You take your responsibility. You do what you have to do. You play the man. And of all things, not Joab, but the Philistines had it right. And the idea was, hey, there's one thing for certain. We may go down, but we are not going to drop down. We are not going to buckle, and we are not going to bow. If we go down, we're going to be taken down. We're going to be, knocked out of the race. We are not going to go down ourselves. We're going to play the man. And he said, quit you like men. Fight like men. O ye Philistines, be not servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. In this battle, these teenagers need to realize that there are no secrets. And nobody thinks that they're any different than anyone else. There's a battle out there, and whether they've got things right a week or so ago, they better keep things right. And the victories of last week are not going to make it this week. You need some fresh ones. But you got to stay in the fight. Haven't you noticed that, Christian? Haven't you had times you think, for what? I've had it. I don't need this. I can go off in a wild blue yonder and I can do better than this. I don't need this. Haven't you had times like that? I would imagine most of them have. I imagine a brother there trying to raise up support to go over there to help Paul Hamilton. I would imagine he's already had times like that. I bet Brother Phil's had times like that. Everybody has. But you play the man. And you stay in the battle. Must stay in the fight. And the Philistines knew that. They may not have come up against opposition like this. And every now and then, you know, it's just this, it's just this, it's just this. And every once in a while, it's a big hit. And they knew that if anything's going to go on, we have got to give it everything we've got. And Christian, you likewise, you need to fix your heart and determine, I've got to play the man as I've never played it before. I've got to stay in the battle as I've never stayed in it before. I must do that if I'm going to stay in the battle. In verse number 10, the Philistines fought and Israel was smitten and they fled every man to his tent. There's a very great slaughter for the fell of Israel, about 30,000 footmen. Now, you're looking at an enemy there that's, they've given everything they got. This just doesn't happen automatically. This enemy knew what they had to do. They knew, and he less would more than likely wind up in defeat. They knew that they had to pull out all the stops. They could hold back nothing. They had to, just give it 150% with nothing held back, nothing at all. They knew that. Now, you and I need to know that. The Philistines, they had some things right. And God's people need to get some things right. God's people need to realize that we have got to get in this battle. We've got to give it a go. We've got to give it our ultimate. We've got to give it everything as though we're blind. We can see nothing. We can see no opposition. We can see no defeat. Everything you've got, God's people, God do it. I mean, the enemy could do it. God's people, God do it. 30,000, you'd call that not some kind of little loss, but major. And God's people got to realize it. Just dabbling, playing around. It may be small to begin with. It doesn't stay that way. It starts that way. That battle started with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 dropping. And when the smoke cleared, the number was 30,000. 30,000. You say, what a loss. Correct. Big loss. Correct. Major loss. Correct. Major defeat. Absolutely. And you need to realize, my friend, that you got to do exactly like they do. You got to get in the battle. You got to stay in the battle. You've got to give it everything you got. You got to fix your heart. Or what starts little is going to wind up being a major defeat. Not what you want. Not what God wants. Not what God wants from you or for you. Not at all. As I look at this in verse 10 here, the Bible says they fled every man to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen that day. As far as I'm concerned, you and I, if we don't take the approach that the Philistines took, where they're going to quit themselves like men, they're going to play the men, they're going to battle, they'll go the last man's out, then you and I are looking at defeat, even perhaps a major defeat, as Israel did that day. You say, well, every once in a while, anybody's going to get routed. Is that the way they describe a major defeat? Yesterday, we're taking the bands back, and Shirley's listening to her beloved Indians. Her beloved Indians are gone. There's nobody left but Tomy and Visquel. And so she's listening to it, and I think I heard the score there. I said, turn that off. 13-5. I don't need to hear any more than that. Eighth inning, 13-5. Lord. But we're building for 3 years from now. Hallelujah. Going to take a minor league team, you know, and a major league team make it minor. I never have. John, I need to ask you about that. The Florida, whatever they call them guys, 95 beat the Indians, or 97. And they won the World Series, and they dismantled the team. What's that all about? Does that make sense? The Yankees, they win, they spend $15 million to get a pitcher. And everybody else, they win, they break up the team. I don't know. The old saying is, if it don't make sense, there's a buck in it somewhere. That's the only way I can figure it out. But, I look at this here and I say to myself, man, I don't know about you, but I don't like losing. I don't like losing 4-3. I don't like losing in 15 innings. I sure don't like getting routed. I don't like major defeat. Man, if I'm going to go out and lose, I want to go out tattered, torn, ragged. I mean, I want to go out having been in the battle there, and everybody knows, man, so the guy lost, but man, he gave it everything he had. Don't you? Of course you do. I'm telling you, people, you got to determine, I'm going to stay in the battle. I'm going to do my best not to even, I don't want to win them all, but I don't want to lose little ones. If I get in the habit of losing little ones, and I'll lose a bunch of little ones. Next thing you know, man, it don't matter if they're little or they're big, I'm taking that loser's attitude. Want to be a loser? Like Ron told the guy one time, you want to be a loser all your life? No, you don't want to. Nor do I. I like winning part of the time, some of the time, a few, once in a while. Man, if you can't win once in a while, I mean, this attitude, man, no, we're not to have that mentality. We need to have a mentality to get in there and give it absolutely everything we got. We don't want defeated by a close margin, and we sure don't want defeated by a big margin. And we sure, Bible Believers Baptist Church, sure don't want to lose anybody. We already lost some. We don't need to lose any more. Want to go the other way. I look at that and I say, yes, yes. Now I think, you know, whenever you get involved in something like this, you got to be careful. Brother Phil, you got to be careful. Brother, you got to be careful. Brother Tim, you got to be careful. I got to be careful. Look, here's Eli. Who's Eli? The guy, man, he'd had a long run, he had a long stretch. Eli's the priest. And Eli had a go of it. But in this situation here, I'm telling you what, man, I mean, this fella had a... He might have had a position. That did not stop him with his position from being hurt and being hurt bad. I say that because I'm looking here in verse number 11. The Bible says the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. Notice that word, and. I remember right when I was back in the sixth grade, had wood shop and learned how to run a wood lathe. Oh, no, man, it's too dangerous. We didn't know that back then. We learned how to handle a saw. Oh, you cut yourself. We didn't know that back then. We just learned how to handle a saw. When I was in the first grade, we learned how to add one and one. It's two. One and one's not one. It's two. And here's a situation here where Hophni and Phinehas were slain. Look, friend, this is not something where you're exempt. It's not where I'm exempt. If Eli is not exempt, you say, what did Eli do? I don't know what he did. Probably what he didn't do. Because you take Samuel's sons, they didn't exactly prove out like you would have expected. But he didn't have to take what happened to Eli here. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And you read about in 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Talk about verse number 22 and there's some verses back there where the Bible says, he restrained them not. He went this way. They made themselves vile. They made themselves vile. They made themselves vile. He restrained them not. They made themselves vile. He went. You know, sometimes you can't stop them. Sometimes no matter what you do, there's no way you can stop them. Their heart's full of something to do evil. They're going to do evil. Doesn't matter what kind of rules you have. Doesn't matter how you set it up. I mean, you know, the heart of man is tricky and deceitful and wicked. And it's going to, you know, so forth. But at least the difference must have been, near as I can figure, Samuel's sons did not go out like Eli's sons went out. And apparently, the problem, he restrained them not. Samuel must at least have given it a try. Hey, boys, look, this ain't going to work. This ain't going to fly. This will not go. And it was to their benefit, I guess you'd say, because Eli's bowed out. And I'll just simply put it this way. Even Eli's house was hurt, capital B, capital A, capital D, exclamation mark, and another exclamation mark, and another exclamation mark. Hurt bad! And so as I look at that, I say, I don't want that for you, and I don't want it for me. I don't want you hurt at all. I don't want you hurt bad. I sure don't want you hurt bad and then hurt bad again. I don't want that. Stay in the battle. Youngsters, stay in the battle. Last week is last week. This week, this school year is this week, this school year. Stay in the battle. Brother Phil, stay in the battle. Matt, stay in the battle. Look here, you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, if Eli paid such a price, such a price, such a price, such a price. Oh no, such a price. And he was not exempt. You know your pastor isn't, and you know you're not. You know that much about me. I know that much about you. None of us are exempt. And I don't want you hurt. I don't think you want me hurt. I know we got to fight a battle, and we have got to quit like men. That is, we don't quit. We stay in the battle, and we go till we drop or till we're raptured out, better yet. But we go helping one another, fighting the battle for each other and with one another. As I look at verse number 21, I'm, you know, looking about something I never thought ever happened. Who would have ever thought? Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed from Israel. Because the ark of God is taken, because her father-in-law and her husband, glory has departed from Israel. You look at verse number 8 there, and man, word had gotten around. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming. Man, I mean, it got around in the book of Joshua, got around in the book of Exodus, got around in 1 Kings. I mean, the word gets around. And you thought, man, they're coming, they're coming. We got to battle like we never fought before. We've got to really get in there. We've got to go. Who would have ever thought that? Never would have thought he'd be writing Ichabod over a people like that. Think of it. Think of what God did. Think of it. Would you ever thought he'd write Ichabod over it? You remember the sign we used to have over the door back there? It wasn't Ichabod. It's just kind of a little jab, said, "Have you rejected Jesus Christ again?" Wouldn't it be sad if over the top of that door, realistically, should be written, "Oh yeah, they got the name. They say the same. No different than anybody else. Ichabod, they go down." Would you ever thought that? I never would have thought that. Reading through the book of Exodus, I thought, oh man, isn't that something? That's, oh man, I can't believe it. And those laws, I mean, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And man, there's nothing wrong with that. Exodus 21, 22, man, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And I, man, that is how she goes, man. That's perfect. That's exactly right. I never would have thought we'd come to this point, 30,000 gone, Hophni and Phinehas slain, Eli drops over, dead, and we read where, simply and summing it up, the glory of the Lord is departed, Ichabod. Oh God, let it never be written over that door. Oh God, let it never be written over the door to your abode. Or mine. Or that little junky office back there. Or that print shop. Or that tape room, or any place. Let it be never. You wouldn't expect it. But I know one thing. All we got to do is just go this way. Drop your arms. Give up. Give up in defeat. And I know what follows. Not for the Philistines, for God's people. Who would have ever thought? Now, as I look at that, I think, you know, what are they going to do? The glory of God departed. It's all over. No. It's all over without the Lord. Watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 7, look at verse number 11. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. Probably that piece of cake, man. We wiped them guys out before. We're going to do it again. They drew near to battle. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went up out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bithkar. Wow. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shan and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Caleb, what was that song you told me you got? Eliezer. That's close. The Eliezer song. I know that song. I used to know it. Ebenezer. And Ebenezer is a, man, it's a thing here where there's a time, there's a point, there's a place where we won the battle, where God moved in, where the victory was ours, and God supernaturally helped us get the victory. So things can be turned around. Can they not? You answer me. Can they not? Talking to everybody here today. Everybody. Say, well, he won't. How do you know he won't? You know what it takes. You know who it takes. You know it's got to be the Lord. Philistines win, and I'm sure they felt like his own man. We did it before. We're going to do it again. We're going to go in there. We're going to fight like we did. We're going to fight like men. We're going to have them down. We're going to have them out. We'll take them out again. But God altered that picture and turned it all the way around. But God. You ever read them things in the Bible? You gotta underline them. You're going through the Bible. But God commands his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God. What a difference. All the difference. All the difference in the world, but God. And as I look at that, I think to myself, wow, that's an amazing thing. Is it possible? Yes, it looks like it's possible. Here's the key. Chapter 7, verse 3 and verse number 4, and then God moves in. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. There you go. Do it. I'm telling you what to do. I can't do it for you. I can do it for me. Only me. I can't do it for the other half of me. Surely. I can't do it for my children. I can only do it for me. You've got to do it for you as well. And the Bible says, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts and put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, there's some things that got to go. They don't fly. They've got to be put away. They're going to haunt you. Some of them secret things that you have got to be put away. And serve Him only. I like that word only. The Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. It's either or. Serve Him only. They saw no man save Jesus only. That's what I want. I want to be like a blind person. All I can see is the Lord Jesus Christ. All I can see is the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, rapturing me out of here. All I can see is myself face to face with the Lord, unashamed before the Lord. All I can see is before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord perhaps saying, friend, come up higher. Or, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Jesus only, serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. They were told what to do. They did it. You thought with Ichabod written over the door was all over. It wasn't all over. It was at the time. But there is a way out. And it's as though you and I have got to get our hearts fixed on the Lord. Nobody and nothing else. And you will stay in the battle. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, I look at that and I say, it can be done. Picture of unregenerate, lost people in the battle, and they'll fight till the last man's out. Certainly ought to be done by you and I that know the Lord with the help of God. And the question is, what you going to do? Where are you going to be a month from now? Back in the rut? Where are you going to be a year from now? If the Lord tarries. Where are you going to be? In the battle? On the shelf? In the woodwork? Dead! You'll be. When I was young and stupid, I remember I was interested in boxing. I always got beat up. You ever have them things, you know, right here where you, yeah, you know, and down you go. I had a friend of mine, he was tougher than I was. That's long and short of it. We'd play around, punch a bag, do this and do that, you know, learn to punch the bag this way and 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 this way. And maybe that's wrong in my head. I don't know. But anyhow, fool around with all that stuff like that. And then I had a bag in the kitchen beside the refrigerator. This is how you do it when you're, you know, not now, but they buy gyms now. Family goes out and buys a gym. Back then, you got an old bag and you filled the thing full of beans, corn, or something. And you punch that bag. You know, that's how he sort of did it. And he'd always fool around, you know, and we'd just kind of be trading a few punches, and all of a sudden, you know, after a while, I guess he knew my weak spot, and he'd unload and get me right here. And I mean, I'd just go, ugh, you know, and you couldn't get your breath, and you go down. And dumb me, I always come back for more. I go back and fight him again. 2334 14th Street, down in the basement, away we go. Crazy, isn't it? Doesn't make sense. So anyhow, along comes, you know, the radio, and you listen to those fights, and boy, oh man, it's so exciting. And then TV comes along. And back in those days, you know, man, that was really something, you know, to watch the Ted Williams and Lou Boudreau and the old timers. That was really something to watch those guys and fights. And I remember this one fight. It was, I believe, Jersey Joe Walcott and Sonny Liston. Heavyweight championship of the world. Man, I'll tell you what, man. This is going to really be something. I remember Joe Louis and Billy Conn, and I remember this and I remember that. Jersey Joe Walcott and Sonny Liston. And I forget which one was knocked out in the first round. I mean, you see those guys, muscles like that, arms like that, the body went like that, and those guys out there, you know, bouncing around there, and you thought, man, they were like they were a fortress in themselves. First round, 30 seconds of the first round, world record. It might have been less than that. It's like as though bang, you know, and a guy's decked for the count. Now, if you believe that's possible, believe it. Help yourself. If you think that's got to be fixed, then you're catching on, I think. I would say it was. I mean, nothing flat first round. I mean, that's all she wrote. And that was so disappointing. Man, I was geared for that. That was just so disappointing. I know guys that go down to Palace Theater and pay $25 to go down there and watch a fight like that, Tyson or somebody else. Imagine one round and it's over. Not even one round. One, two, three, eight, nine. The guys get like that, you know. 10! The guys like that, and they help him to the corner there. It's over! First round! Not even 3 minutes. Boy, disappointing, man. I couldn't believe that. Jersey Joe, I never thought that ever happened to him. Boy, what a disappointment. But I remember some of those fights, you know, the ones that was probably even better as far as the fights are the middleweight championships. And those guys, they get in there and they, for some reason or other, they really got knocked out. But boy, they take a beating. And I remember probably some of the fights of the century or, well, I'm not a century, well, fights of the, what can I call it? would be Tony Zale and Jake LaMotta. It's kind of strange to see those old-time pictures, and they had the firm muscles. They didn't have muscles big as a basketball. They were the middleweight championship of the world. But those guys would fight, and it would go back and forth, 7, 8, 9 rounds, 10 rounds, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 rounds. Man, you see pictures of those guys in there, and their eyes were swollen shut, nose smashed all over their face, cuts here, staggering around and staying in the fight. 15 rounds. One time Zale would win it, come back for a rematch, LaMotta would win it, go for the rubber match, I don't know who won it. I mean, middleweight champion, I have to give him credit. Stay in the battle! You ought to see the pictures of them. You'd say, man, abuse, absolutely. Yeah, it was. But they stayed in the battle. I was so disappointed when that world's record was broken and the bout ended in less than one round. And you know, that's how some Christians are. They won't make a week from now. They'll go out in record time. So disappointing. Oh, so disappointing. Oh, I want to see somebody, I want to see somebody would fight. So disappointing. It sure is good to see that one that just doesn't know what quitting is all about. They might know what hurting is all about. They may know what might take a while to overcome and get back to looking like they once did. But they're not even thinking about quitting. They're thinking about staying in the battle and winning the battle. Sometimes it's so disappointing to me and to you, and even more so to the Lord. Christian, you be that one that knows what to do to get things turned around. I know that one of these days God's going to move in. This picture is going to turn. It'll turn all the way around. And I know what I'm told to do. To work for Israel, to work for me. I'm going to stay in the battle. With God's help, I'm going to win some. How about you? Father, we're thankful for the Word of God, that your blessing be upon what's been said. Lord, there's a lesson for us from the Philistines of all people. But God, that we learn and learn well. May today you put something in the heart of every Christian here. Something that perhaps is called grit, courage. I don't know. But if we've got to go a few more rounds till you rapture us out, may they not lay down and play dead. May they stay in the battle and get some victories. Speak to every heart. Youngsters, yes. Oldsters, yes. Males, yes. Females, yes. Please deal with hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.